2 Timothy chapter 3. Brother Ben asked me, he saw me putting up the little sign holder there, and he said, are we going to have the pregame this morning and the game tonight? Well, I wasn't thinking of it about that, but I guess it is. And this message I'll preach tonight is connected to this morning a little bit, but it didn't intend to be that way. I intended preaching this message for several weeks, and the Lord kept putting it off. But it had no connection really with this morning, because the morning message I mentioned to you, God changed it this morning, gave me a different message early this morning. The one I preached about Super Bowl Sunday. But this could certainly go with it. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and go ahead and go to 2 Timothy 4. And we're going to go to a couple of places here. Then we'll go to the book of Revelation. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse number 16 says this. 2 Timothy 3:16. Watch it. And it says this. All Scripture. Notice that. A-L-L. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine. Every Scripture in this Bible, according to that, is doctrine. Every place you find in the Bible, every Scripture in there is doctrine. The new Bibles, they remove the word doctrine. They don't like it. They don't like it. In fact, that verse right there, the ESV, says all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. The Holman Christian Standard Bible, the official Bible of the Southern Baptist, says all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching. They take the word doctrine. The word doctrine occurs 51 times in the King James Bible. It occurs 4 times in the Southern Baptist's Bible. That's all they have it in there. 11 times in it. They don't like doctrine. I've had people say to me several times, now I don't want to talk about doctrine. Well, if you don't want to talk about doctrine, you don't want to talk about the Bible, because the Word of God says all Scripture is given by inspiration from God and is profitable for doctrine. You say, how much of it? Every verse in this Bible is doctrine. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Says this, 2 Timothy 4:1, Paul's charging Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. Be in season, out season. You got to preach sometime when you don't feel like it. You got to preach sometime when you just got to preach. And reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Preaching's doctrine. People say, well, I've heard good preaching's not always good doctrine. Good preaching is always good doctrine. If it's preaching, it ought to be doctrine. Verse 3, for the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And I preached about that a while back, years ago. And that's where we're at today. They don't like doctrine. But this Bible, every single word in it, every single verse in it, every single comma in it, everything in it, it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now take your Bible, turn to the last book of the Bible. The last book of the Bible. You ought to be able to find that. Turn to the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, and turn to the last chapter in the book of Revelation. Turn to the last book of the Bible, turn to the last chapter in the book of Revelation, and turn to look at the last verse in the Bible. The last book, the last chapter, the last verse, and the last word. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. And I will preach a message on the doctrine of amen. I've never heard a message like that. Well, you're going to hear one tonight on the doctrine of amen. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to doctrine. And the last word, when God gets ready to finish His book, the last thing He gives you is that little word, amen. They were saying, you know, whoever gets the last word, normally the person that gets the last word, that's the most important thing. That's the most conclusive thing. That's where it ends it. There's 783,137 words in the King James Bible, and God decides to end His word with the last word in it is that little word that says amen. And I believe that's important. And I want to preach on the doctrine of amen. There are 39 books in the New Testament and 36 books in the New Testament. 36 of them end with the last word, amen. Now, it's not that way in the new perversions. They take out the word, none of them, only a few books in and amen. But listen, when God got ready to write that book, when He ends every one of them, He ends with that word, amen. I like the word amen. I like it. It's a good word. The Lord likes the word amen. It's found all throughout the Bible. I like to say the word amen. Say it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I like to hear it. Amen.
Amen.
I like to sing it. Amen. 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 And the little baby in the cradle says, amen. 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 I mean, those black folk, they get in there, they know how to sing. I like it. I like to sing it. I like to hear it. I like to say it. You say, why? Because God likes it too. So I'm going to preach a little bit on the doctrine of amen. First of all, I want to give you the definition of the word amen. And the word amen is a transliteration from the Hebrew and the Greek. When I've given you that before, transliteration is when they don't translate the word. Like the word koronos is the word, is the Greek word for heaven. They translate it. The word ekklesia is a Greek word for church. They translate it. But some of the words of the King James Bible, translators, they don't translate, they transliterate. They just take it from the Greek alphabet into the English. Like the word baptized is a Greek word baptizo. The Greek word angelos is a word angels. And when they come to the word amen, they don't translate it. They just take and transliterate it. And it's the same word in Hebrew as it is in Greek. The Hebrew word is amen. The Greek word is amen. Now we pronounce it amen. And you go down into over there in the North Carolina, they pronounce it as amen. Amen. Come on, preacher. Amen. The city folks, we normally pronounce it amen. And the word amen, it means so be it. It means so it is. It means truth. It means faithful. It means verily. It means even so. I was up there with Annie Mae the other day, and we was talking, and she gave me this many times. And I prayed, and I said, in Jesus' name, amen. And she said, amen, preacher, so be it. So be it. That's what it means. That's what amen means. It means so be it. It means when you're amen in the preacher or you're amen in God, you say, hey, preacher, amen. I agree with you. So be it. That's the truth, preacher. Amen. I like it. There's a definition of amen. Jeremiah 28:6, it says this. Even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen, the Lord so do. That's what it means. It means the Lord so do. Revelation 1:7, even so, amen. Revelation 22, even so, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. That's what it means. Even so, it means truth. There's a definition of the word amen in the Gospel of John. And only in the Gospel of God, John, we have the two words, verily, verily. Jesus uses those words, verily, verily, 25 times in the book of Gospel of John. And it's the Greek word amen. At that point, the King James Bible translators, rather than putting amen, they translated it. Remember John chapter 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know what that is? That's the two Greek words, amen, amen. And the only time amen occurs in the Gospel of John, it's the very end of it. The last word in the Gospel of John is the word amen. You know what it means? It means so be it. When God got through with His book and He's had the last word in that thing, the definition, Revelation, He said amen. That means that. So be it. That's the truth. Turn over to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 6. Get Matthew chapter 6. Go to Psalm 72. I'm telling you about the definition of the word amen. It means so be it. It means that's true. It means verily. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Help me out here. We might get through this thing tonight before 10 o'clock. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Here's the definition of the word amen. I got a sign here. We're going to start trying to get amen back in the church. We might get Chris to run around like they do in the wrestling shows and some of those things, running around with amen. Amen. Let's say it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Did that hurt now?
Amen.
Kind of felt pretty good, didn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm going to set it up here just so y'all won't forget, okay? That was the pregame. Say, now we're in the game. That was the pregame this morning, Miss Rachel. Now we're playing the game. Amen. See, I've got my amen jacket on, see? That's what I used to wear. I used to do that at the Jimmy Hale Rescue Mission. I actually have a big old thing here that flashes, amen. It wasn't working, so I couldn't use it. But I'd stick these things on my jacket there at Jimmy Hill Mission. I'd get preaching to them, and I'd go, and they'd say, oh, amen. You guys try it. You ready?
Amen.
We're getting there. We might make it through this thing before we get through this. Look over there in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. You heard that old joke before? If you don't like your preacher, I'll tell you how you can kill him. Just amen him to death. He'll die preaching up there trying to keep up with you. Matthew chapter 6 verse 9 says this. Well, this is called they call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's not the Lord's Prayer. This has nothing to do with the Lord's Prayer. This is a model prayer. Look at Matthew chapter 6, 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Lord which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ didn't have to pray that. He didn't have to pray for forgiveness and all that. That's why I know it's not the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And it says, amen. That's why when we pray, we ended our prayers with an amen. That's a confirmation. That's an authorizing. That's when we say, amen. Amen. It's the same reason somebody said one time in Sunday school, they asked a little boy one time, the teacher asked him, said, does anybody know why we say amen at the end of prayers? And the little boy said, I guess because we won't say a woman. And another kid said, I guess that's why we sing hymns and not hers. You heard about that lady one time. She is a single lady up in years. And she is in church. And the preacher said, well, I'm going to let y'all pick out whoever gives the largest offer. And I'm going to let you pick out three hymns. And this lady, they started bidding. And somebody said, $5. And this lady jumped up. She said, $300. $300. She said, yep, $300. She said, well, you win, ma'am. Which hymns do you want? She said, I want him, and I want him, and I want him. Amen. Amen. I want to say there's a definition of it. After we say our prayers at the end of it, the book of Psalms is known as the book of prayers. Look at Psalm 72. There's a definition of the doctrine of amen. It means so be it. It means authorize. It means that's it. Look at Psalm chapter 72. David wrote the first 72 chapters of the book of Psalms. He didn't write all Psalms. Most people think David wrote the book of Psalms, but he didn't. He wrote the first 72 chapters. Then he wrote a few more chapters scattered here and about. But the first 72 he wrote. And here's what he said for Psalm chapter 72. Verse 19, and blessed be His glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. And the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. And when he got through praying, you know what he said? Amen and amen. Amen means that's it. That means that's the truth. That means I believe it. That's when we pray and we ask God to do that. We mean, God, we're serious. We're confirming it. And we're saying, God, amen. I believe that. Look over 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm talking about the doctrine of amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. God loves the word amen. It's found throughout the Bible. I'm going to give you some as we go through here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You're right, Brother Ben. This morning, see, it was just pregame. That was get you excited, but now we're in the game.
Amen.
Amen. Say, come on now, help me out. We're in the game.
Amen.
We're going to get there. Look over there in 1 Corinthians chapter. Feels good to get excited about. Feels good to release it, doesn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Rita's catching on real good. I might get her and move her up here in the front. Let her walk around with that sign.
She's our head
cheerleader. There you go. I tell them, I've led song service many, many churches, and I can't sing worth a tooth. But it seemed like a lot of churches, we'd go in, the piano player quit and the song leader quit, and I'd be stuck, and she'd be playing the piano, and I'd be doing the song leader. And I'd tell the preacher, I said, now, I'm not a very good song leader, but I'm a really good cheerleader. I can cheer, but I can't. He said, that's good enough. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Here it is again, talking about the definition of the doctrine of amen. It means so be it. It means confirmation. It means that's it. Look over 1 Corinthians 14:16. Wonder why we pray? We say amen at the end. That's why it's Bible. Why we do it. And when you give thanks, when you pray over your food, you know I always say, in Jesus' name, amen. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:16. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, saying he understandeth not what thou sayest? We give thanks, we pray and give God. You know what people say? Amen. You say, why? Because that's what the Bible says to do. There's a definition of the word amen. Not only that, there's the definition of the word amen. There's the definitive of the word amen. You say, what does that mean? Definitive means that's the final. That's the final authority. That's the last word. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And there's the definitive of the doctrine of amen. That's it. That's the end. That's the final solution. Like a little boy one time, he was in Sunday school and the teacher asked him, he said, Tommy, what does the word amen mean? He said, that means da-da-da-da-da. That's all, folks. You know what? That's what it means. That's exactly what it means. Look over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says this. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll get to 1 Corinthians later. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 says this. But if God is true. Watch this. This is good. That's why we say, man, watch this. But if God is true. That's what amen means. Our word towards you was not yea and nay. Brother, when we preach, me and Chris, or whomever up here, Brother Earl, it ought to be yay, yay, yay. It ought to not be no wishy-washy kind of thing. That's what it's saying. Our word toward you is not yay and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among us, by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Watch this, verse 20. For all the promises of God are in him are yea, and in him amen. Under the glory of God. You know what that means? That means, brother, we can take it to the bank. That means when God says, amen, brother, that means da-da-da-da-da-da. That's all, folks. That's what that means, brother. That's a definitive statement you and I can say. It's not no yea and nay. It's yea, the promise of a God. Amen. Amen. Good, good. I like this song I've heard. Some of you heard it. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it for me. If I was writing that word, that song, Miss Martha, I'd change it. I'd just say God says it, and that settles it. No matter we believe it or not. I heard Dave Jackson preaching one of the great preachers yesteryear of some of these tapes, and boy, he can preach up a storm. He got that backbite, man, boy. He can go. I'll tell you right now, God, he's on there and he says, there's some things in this Bible I just don't agree with that God said. He said, there's just some things in this Bible I can't agree with God on. But he said, you know what? God's right and I'm wrong, brother. I'm sure there's some things you and I don't understand, but bless God, we can say,
amen.
There you go. Amen. There's not no yea and nay, brother. When it comes to God, it's definitive. It means amen. Psalm 119 verse 89. Settled forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. It's settled in heaven. I don't argue about the word of God anymore. I used to. I don't argue about it. I don't argue about a gun being loaded to you. I mean, you pull a gun on somebody and that guy says, I don't believe it's loaded. It's still loaded, isn't it? Somebody says, I don't believe that Bible doesn't mean anything. That Bible will still shoot you. That Bible will still speak to you. That Bible will still take you off. That Bible will still lose something, brother. It's the definitive word of God, and the last word in it, he puts his trademark on it. Amen. It'll do the job. Bible said over in Numbers, God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Has she not said it? Shall he not do it? Hath he not spoken? And shall he not make it good? Bless God, when you pick that old Bible up, you can just say, amen. Everything you see in it is definitive. Years ago, we started our Dial the Truth ministry. I think I've told you about this, but it's worth repeating. And we've had that ministry for 30-something years now, and still booming, growing, print tracks going out every week. Just God's just been so good in our ministry, letting us do that. And we got a voice message people call to listen to. And I never forget, years ago, I had a kid call me up, and I had a message on hell. Guy went on hell there. And he called me up. His name was Brad. Brother Ben, he called me up and he had this long voice like this. And he thought he was really intelligent, Miss Martha. He's about 18 or something. And he called me, I'll never forget, he says, here's what he said. I remember his exact words.
Are you the gentleman that has the message on hell?
I said, indeed I am. And he said,
well, I want you to know, I don't believe in hell.
I just quoted some Bible. I said, well, the Bible says that whosoever is not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire.
But I don't believe the Bible.
I just kept quoting the Bible. I said, Jesus Christ said, if your hand offend thee, cut it off. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. If your eye offend thee, pluck it out. It'd be better for thee to go through this life blind, hauled and maimed, to be cast into hellfire.
But I don't believe the Bible.
I just kept quoting verses on hell. After about 10 verses, he got kind of paused a little bit. He said,
sir, could I get saved over the telephone?
You see, hey, sit there and deny it all they will, but I got news for you, brother. Had old book of work. I denied it the whole time, Brother Chris. That thing was amening me and cutting me up, brother. I want to say it's a definitive word of God. That's why it ends with that word, amen.
Amen.
Amen. It concludes it. God to keep His word. One of the Baptist distinctives. There's about 4 to 7 of them, depends who you talk to. But one of the Baptist distinctives, what we believe, what independent Baptists believe, we believe that Bible is a final authority in all practice and faith. That's what we believe. We believe this book right here, we believe it is the amen of God right here. This is the definitive amen of God. I believe it. I believe every word of it. I believe it. And it's settled with an amen definitive. Sometimes, like old Brother Mays Jackson said, there's some things in this old Bible I have a hard time with. I'll be honest with you. I like what old Brother Joe Coley said one time. He was preaching on about, I forgot the name of the message. But he's talking about, there's things in this Bible I just don't agree with. He said, I can't agree with God making David king. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. He said, all that David did, he said, listen, I wouldn't let David lead in silent prayer in my church if he's in there. But he said, you know what? God is right and I'm wrong. There's things in that Bible we don't understand. There's things in that Bible, my friend, we don't understand. But listen, my friend, we can all sit there and say amen. If nothing else, I've been some crazy man preachers hit me, and rather than say, oh, amen, I just said, oh, me. Oh me, oh my, I think I'm going to cry. Oh me, oh my, I think I'm going to die. Hey man, there's just some things in that Bible, my friend, it'll just take it, cut you up. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. There's a definitive of that Word. It's the final Word from God. Not only that, take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 3. I'm preaching on the doctrine of amen. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation. This is the game. This morning was a pregame.
Amen.
We're going to get it.
Amen.
We're going to get it here. The Super Bowl. I tell you something else about the amen. There's the definition of it, the doctrine of amen. And there's the definitive of it. There's something else about amen. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Revelation chapter 3 verse 14 says this. And to the church, Revelation 3 verse 14, and to the angel of the church, the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the amen. There's the deity of amen. You know, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, is called the amen, the faithful and true witness. He is the definitive and the final amen in everything and everybody. Amen defines and declares and decrees His deity, brother. And let me tell you, there is one and only one amen in this universe. It's not Republicans, it's not Democrats, it's not Donald Trump, it's not Barack Obama, it's not Joe Biden, brother, it's not any preacher. There's only one amen in the universe. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Amen. Not Amen, but the Amen. Here's the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Amen. The only word and voice you can trust 100%, my friend, is this right here. The Amen of God. Whatever God says in His Word, you can say Amen and Amen. Numbers 23, God is not a man that he should lie. I'm so glad of that. Neither the son of man that he should repent. He don't have to repent. He have to change his mind. Had he not said, and shall he do it? Has he not spoken, and shall he not make it good? Numbers 23. What are you trying to say? Here's the deity of the amen. I know God will keep his word.
Amen.
No matter what you go through, brother, it doesn't matter what it is. This Bible right here, you can get down before it and say, okay, God, you said it. God, and Lord, you told me that, God. And I've had to do this before. Get down this Bible and say, okay, God, I'm trusting in you. I need you, God. And I can just say, when I get through,
amen.
You know why? This is the definitive. This is the deity. This book right here, he is the amen, the faithful and true witness. Whatever God says in his word, brother, we can count on it. Over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, we saw it before. It said, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. If you notice that verse, that amen is capitalized, it's personified. Jesus Christ, there's the deity of the amen. There's the definition of it. The doctrine of amen. There's the definitive. I'll give you one more point. There's the declaration of the word amen. The word declare means to be clear. It means declare. That's what it means. It said the heavens declare the glory of God. They make it clear what God's done. Amen means it so be it. It means in agreement. When you say amen with a preacher and the preacher's preaching, you know what you're saying? Hey, preacher, that's right. I agree with you. You know what you and I? We ought to declare the amen of God in our lives. We declare amen. It means that we agree with the Lord. We should wake up in the morning, Miss Rachel. We should wake up in the morning, Miss Martha, and say, amen, Lord. All during the day, Brother Ben, we ought to be, amen, Lord. We ought to be walking right in agreement with Him. And we go to bed at night, you know what we ought to do? Lay down in bed and say, amen, Lord. All our day ought to be declaring the amen of God, walking in agreement with Him. That's what it means. Amen. There's a declaration of it. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? We ought to be walking through the day. Walking through the day. Amen with God. One of the great preachers of yesteryear died in 1912, I believe it was a man named John Hyde. John Hyde was known as Praying Hyde. John Hyde prayed so much, he walked like this. That's the way he walked. He spent so much time on his knees. His knees, they said, had thick calluses, looked like camel knees. He spent so much time on his knees. He spent so much time praying, his heart had shifted from his left side all the way over to his right side. He spent so much time praying.
Amen.
When he went to bed at night, you know what his last words, when he got in that bed, they said?
Amen.
He'd been praying all day. Bible said, pray without ceasing. That old boy had been praying all day. And they said when he laid in that bed, his last word was, and amen, Lord. Wouldn't that be a way to live your life? Amen. We ought to declare the word amen. We ought to be in agreement with God about it. Everywhere we go, take your Bible, turn over to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, while you're going there, go to Deuteronomy 27. There's a declaration of the word amen. There's a definition. It means so be it. It means that's the truth. It means I'm in agreement with you, Lord. It means, come on, let's go. Look over here in Revelation chapter 5. You know what they're doing in heaven. Y'all looking forward to going to heaven.
Amen.
Why don't we just get practice down here a little bit like old Charles Weigel? Why don't we just start practicing for heaven? Don't you think that'd be a good idea? We ought to get practicing. It ought to get so good down here. When we go home to heaven, it ought to be just like, whoop, here I am. Same deal. The same thing. You know what they're doing in heaven? Can I tell you? Look over at Revelation chapter 5 and go to Revelation chapter 7. I can give you many of them. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 14 says this. And the four beasts said,
amen.
And the Lord and 20 elders fell down and worshiped Him. They live there. You know what they're doing in heaven? They're saying,
amen.
You know what we do? We ought to start practicing down here. Get used to it. Amen. Look over at Revelation chapter 7. Verse 11, Revelation 7:11, an angel stood around about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom. And forever, God be forever. Amen. That's what they're saying over and over and over. Revelation 19:4, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. You know what they're doing in heaven? They're saying amen. You know what we might as well do? Everybody going there, we all might as well, Miss Martha, get used to it down here and get used to it down here. And that way we get up there, Miss Rita be just like, okay, I'm here, guys.
Amen.
Amen. We're catching on. There's a declaration. Look over Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy 27. While you're in Deuteronomy, flip over to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. I'm just a few more verses here. Deuteronomy chapter 27. I'm talking about the declaration. The declaration of amen. You know what God's people do in the Bible? They say amen. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy, second law is what he's talking about. Deuteronomy chapter 27, God gives them the word of God. Deuteronomy 27:1, Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. Come down to verse 15. We'll just jump down here. Verse 15, cursed be the man that maketh any graven molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of his craftsmen, and put it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, what?
Amen.
Look at verse 16. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father's mother, and all the people shall say.
Amen.
Verse 17. Cursed he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say.
Amen.
Verse 18. Cursed he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say.
Amen.
Verse 20. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovered his father's skirt, and all the people shall say. Verse 21, cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say.
Amen.
Verse 22, cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say.
Amen.
Verse 23, cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say.
Amen.
Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say.
Amen.
Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say.
Amen.
Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to them, and all the people shall say.
Amen.
You know what it means? It means, hey, we're in agreement with you, Lord. We're going to do what you said, God. And all the people said.
Amen.
Here's the declaration of it. 1 Chronicles 16, if you can turn there real quick, otherwise I'll just give it to you real quick. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, there's a lot of verses here about this. You know what amen means? It means to praise the Lord. That's what it means. 1 Chronicles 16:36, blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said amen and praise the Lord. Nehemiah 5:13, and all the congregation said amen and praise the Lord. Psalm 106:48, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, everlasting, everlasting. And all the people said, amen, praise you the Lord. When we say amen, you know what we're doing? We're praising God, what we're doing. It just ought to come out. Amen declares the praise and excitement for the Lord. Like Brother Ben said, we had the pregame, now we got the game.
Amen.
Amen? We're in the game.
Amen.
Y'all don't. I have to start over this whole message. We don't have to go back in the beginning, do we?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I heard about this one fellow. He got saved, Brother Alonzo. And he got saved. And he didn't know anything about the Bible. Didn't know anything about God. And he got down to the altar and got saved. And when he got up, he was so excited. He jumped up and said, hot dog, hot dog, hot dog. Hey, if that's all you got, that's pretty good. Jim White, I heard him preaching an evangelist on one of the tapes here a few days ago. And he led this girl to the Lord. And she said she didn't know anything. And when she got saved, she jumped up and said, hooray for Jesus! Brother Ruckman said he baptized this girl one time. And he baptized her. When she came up out of the water, she said, Merry Christmas! Sometimes that's all we got, Miss Rachel. But you know what that is? That's an equivalent of an amen, brother. That's when you're excited about God. We ought to be declaring the amen. Now those black folks, they know how to worship God. Let me tell you, they can get it on, my friend. I remember they had that Camel Cupcake McKinney funeral on TV, and I watched it. And I still got it. I think I taped it on my DVR thing. And boy, they were getting it on, Miss Martha. I'm telling you, them ladies, they were waving their handkerchiefs and, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. And they were jumping around. That preacher, I can't jump around. My knees were, I wouldn't be able to jump back. I'd go down, that'd be it. But he was jumping around, and he's going wild. Man, they play that organ music in the background. You know how they do. And I mean, that thing is, boy, it's getting it on. And he got on there and never forget it. He said, we're on TV, folks. He said, this whole world thinks we're crazy, and let's don't disappoint them. Amen. You get around some of them old black people, I mean, brother, they got God all over him, and they don't mind declaring, amen. We used to go down there, Jimmy Hill Rescue Mission, and my boy, I can tell you, it's about 90% black guys, and I'd do this right here, and I'd do that, that whole building would shake. I mean, brother, they'd get amen, and they'd about preach me to death sometimes. I mean, brother, here's the declaration of amen. God's people ought to declare it. Ought to be real to us.
Amen.
I went to that Spanish church here a few months ago, and I loved it. About 300 people. That guy talked for an hour and 15 minutes in Spanish. I picked up a few words. I picked up Señor was Lord. I picked up gracious. Gracious was grace. But the one word I kept hearing in that church, I didn't need no interpretation, Miss Martha. There was only one word all throughout that church that I didn't need any interpretation, Miss Rachel. And all throughout that Spanish church, I heard those Spanish people say, amen, amen. I mean, they didn't go 2 minutes, but somebody say amen. And that's the only word. Brother, that's a universal language with God, is that word amen. There's the declaration of that word amen. Brother, it's a sad day when we no longer can say it. We need to get it back up in this church, man. I'm going to start schooling. We're going to start getting it going. We got to get amen back in this church. Helps you feel good. It helps the preaching. It helps the singing. And we need to get the Super Bowl back in here. Super Bowl Sunday. Every Sunday. It's a sad day when our church is no longer can say amen. Proverbs 21:18 says, he that man that wandereth away of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. So we got dead in our churches a lot of times. I've been listening to a lot of these old tapes, and I started to play one for you here tonight, but I didn't figure I'd have time. We've been listening to a lot of old Maze Jackson, Percy Ray, and some of these prayer all gone home to be with the Lord. Some of them 20, 30 years ago. And boy, they get preaching on that tape, Miss Martha, and they're shouting an amen, and so much, Rachel, you can't even hear the preacher. I mean, that thing is getting on. And brother, that's the way it used to be. That's the way it used to be. That's the way it used to be in our churches. We need to get back to that. We need to get back to the declaration of the word amen. We ought to get excited about God. Brother, it ought to be our lives. We ought to walk our lives. We ought to wake up every morning with a hearty amen. And we end of the night like old John Hyde, praying Hyde, just say, amen, Lord. Amen. There's a famous politician named Daniel Webster. Y'all ever heard of him? He's not Doyle Webster. Doyle Webster wrote the dictionary. Daniel Webster was a statesman. He was a congressman from Massachusetts. He was a secretary of state for four or five different presidents. He died in 1852. And he was a great Christian man. Loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. And he's lay dying. Dr. Jeffries, that was his medical doctor, came over there and talking to him, last breath, and Dr. Jefferson, Jeffries asked him, he said, Mr. Webster, is there anything I can do for you? He said, would you read me a hymn? Would you just read me a hymn? And he took a hymn and he read, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood to lose all their guilty stings. And he went through that, and when he got through that, the last words come out of the mouth of Daniel Webster was, amen, amen, amen. Wouldn't that be the way to go? You know what would be good on your tombstone? Amen. Live your life in agreement with God. When you got through this thing, in the last breath you could just say, amen. That'd be the way to go, wouldn't it? I've never seen that on a tombstone. I looked on the internet to see if I could find one. But boy, wouldn't that be a good one. Stephen Terry Watkins. Amen. Wouldn't that be the way to go? There's a declaration of that word, amen. I was researching this thing on the internet and finding some things. And I found a song on the internet. I'm going to pass it out. We're going to sing it. And it's called, the name of it is By Saying Amen to His Word. And it goes to the tune of, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I think it's 39085 in the red. But it's changed the word some. And it's by saying amen to God's word. Mm-hmm. Your pastor.